The next three sessions are going to be on the Antichrist. And so Antichrist 1, Antichrist Part 2, Antichrist Part 3. He is coming, and so is Jesus. A few years ago, I had been asked by someone to help design a website. And he wanted to talk about the last days. And he wanted to say, okay, we want to get something controversial to get people's attention. He wanted me to give my picture of somebody that I would think might look like the Antichrist. And I suggested this picture right here because it is the European Jesus. It is the Jesus of Western culture, not the Jesus of the Bible. And the reason I put that up is the word antichrist is made up of two words. The first word, anti, which primarily meaning is another. Secondary meaning in opposition to, but the primary meaning of anti is another. Anti-gravity, another gravity. And the second word is Christos, was the Greek word for anointed one or Messiah. The word Antichrist means another Messiah. Now, in the Old Testament times, there were three people who were anointed with oil: the prophet, the priest, and the king. They were anointed with oil because within Judaism, the anointing of oil represented the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Both within Judaism and within Christianity, the Holy Spirit is represented by the oil that is in the menorah, not by might nor by my strength, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. And so the prophet, the priest, and the king were all anointed. They were called the anointed ones or messiahs. But as the Jewish people began to study, get more and more words from the Lord, we call it the Bible, they came to realize that although they anointed the prophet, the priest, and the king, there was another one who was coming who would be the anointed prophet, the anointed priest, the anointed king. He would be the Messiah. And perhaps the best verse in the scripture about the coming of the Messiah is Psalm 45, 6 and 7. Thy throne, O God. Who is the person referring? Who is the psalmist addressing here? God. Am I off base? Thy throne, O God, he's talking to God, is forever and ever. A scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness. Who loves righteousness? It's God. God loves righteousness, hates wickedness. Who hates wickedness? That's God. Therefore, God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Who is the thee? It's God. God anoints God. And the word anoint there is Mashiach. God anoints God. Psalm 45. 6 and 7 tells us the Messiah will be God who is anointed by God. When you have a discussion with an Orthodox Jew, this can be quite an intense conversation. God anointing God? Does that mean the Messiah is God? Now, the Bible says the Antichrist is coming. Little children, is the last time. And as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. I love getting into debates with some liberal Christians to say, the Bible doesn't speak of the Antichrist. I take him to 1 John 2:18. What is that talking about? The Antichrist. What's going on here? Now, the Old Testament speaks of the Antichrist, only it doesn't use that term. It uses other terms. In Zechariah chapter 11, he is called the foolish shepherd and the idol shepherd, I-D-O-L. I find it interesting that when I've talked to Muslims about the coming of the Antichrist, one of the things that Islam teaches is when the Antichrist comes, his right eye and right hand will never be healed. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye, his arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly darkened. This is a sign given for those people who will be left behind. When you see someone who is supposedly raised from the dead, and his right arm and right eye are not healed, it is the idol shepherd. It is the Antichrist. Daniel 7 calls him the beast. He's called the same thing in the book of the Revelation. In Daniel chapter 11, he's called the willful king. So it's not as if the doctrine of Antichrist is a New Testament concept. It was in the Old Testament as well. Now there was a warning. The Bible taught of the coming of the Messiah. And the Old Testament also taught of the coming of the false Messiah. Therefore, God was very concerned that the Jewish people would not be deceived by the false Messiah. And so what they did was they gave some factors so we could identify, not only the Jews, but also the Gentiles, could identify Satan's counterfeit Messiah. Some people say there's as many as 322 prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. We won't go into detail. I'll put them up here and then you can take a look at it. Number one. Messiah, the real Messiah, has to be a Jew from the tribe of Judah. That eliminates 99% of all the false messiahs. Jim Jones said he was the Messiah, but he's not Jewish. David Koresh, he said that he was Jewish, but he wasn't. He's not the Messiah. Sun, Wan, Moon. Sorry, Mr. Moon. You are not Jewish. You are disqualified. Secondly, he has to be born of a virgin. That eliminates every false Messiah. There's only one Messiah who can make claim that he was born of a virgin. He has to be born in Bethlehem. Well, the Jewish people, many of the Jewish people will see this in session two, thinks Rabbi Sneerson is the Messiah. Sorry, Mr. Ultra-Orthodox Jew, your Messiah is a false Messiah because the real Messiah was born in Bethlehem. And that makes a real problem for Jewish people today because Bethlehem is in the control of the Arabs. He has to be pierced. I've met the Messiah on the street many times. I've met Jesus on the street. You know that? If you go out on the street and you start talking to people, you're going to meet Jesus. Usually deranged or insane or demon possessed. You know what I ask whenever I see Jesus on the street? I'll say, "Oh, I'm glad to meet you, Jesus. Can I take a look at your hand? I want to see the nail prints in your hand." Oh, do they get mad at me for some reason? If they do not have the nail print in their hands and feet and side, they are a false Messiah. The real Messiah was going to die for the sins of the people. And the real Messiah has to be alive. 69 Sabbath from the proclamation to rebuild Jerusalem. That took place on April 6, 32 AD. The Messiah had to be alive, according to Daniel 9, 24 to 27, exactly 483 years from the proclamation to rebuild Jerusalem. That eliminates every modern day Messiah. He had to be alive. So do you know of any Messiah who's from the tribe of Judah, born of a virgin, born in Bethlehem, pierced, dies for the sins of the people and alive, 32-33 AD? I think that eliminates every other Messiah except for one. Okay, the Daniel 9:24, March 14th, 445. Now, over 300 odds. In his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Josh McDowell uses the statistical analysis of a person called Peter Stoner. He used eight criteria to figure out who the Messiah would be. Had to be born in Bethlehem, preceded by a forerunner, entered Jerusalem on a donkey, hands and feet pierced, sold for 30 pieces of silver, money used to buy a potter's field, dumb before his accuser, crucified by thieves. Those are all prophesied in the Old Testament. The odds would be 1 to that number there, 10 to the 53, or 10 to the 17th power. Texas is about the size of Alberta. So to try to figure out the odds of one man fulfilling those things by chance, what you need to do is go to the bank and take out some loonies. Enough loonies to cover Alberta to the, I think it's 2 feet deep. Then you tell the skeptic, I'm going to mark that with a X, and I'm going to blindfold you. And you have to go all over Alberta and pick the one loony that has the X on it. You only have one chance. That is the odds of Jesus fulfilling those eight prophecies. But Stoner then goes to 48 of the 300 prophecies. The dollar is much too big. You need to have an electron. Let me tell you how big an electron is. If I put an inch, one string of electrons an inch long, and I count 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, it'll take me 19 million years to count that single string. And you take that electronic thing and you fill it 2 feet high. You mark one and you tell a person you have one chance to pick the right electron. It is what is called, there is the number, one and not many. That's the odds of Jesus fulfilling those 48 prophecies. Bo Bennett is a statistician. He puts it this way. Suppose you have a truck full of dice, a garbage truck full of dice, and you pull the lever, and every dice lands with a number 6 on top, or number 1, whatever. Number 1. Is that statistically possible? And he says, it becomes statistically impossible. The odds of Jesus fulfilling those 48 prophecies is less than a dump truck emptying his dice and everyone turning up one. It's called statistical impossibilities. But it is over 300 prophecies. Now, Paul was worried when he was talking to in the book of Acts. He said, "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock, also of your own selves, some men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." And Roger talked about this. He was worried that there might be another Jesus, another gospel, another Holy Spirit. And there are many false Jesuses. For instance, liberal Christianity. Bill Phibbs, John Spong. Bill Phibbs is the former moderator of the United Church of Canada. John Spong is an apostate Anglican pastor. Both of them say, "We do not believe in the virgin birth." Problem with that? If Jesus is not born of a virgin, he is not the Messiah. Because one of the signs of the Messiah was that he would be born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. Secondly, if Jesus is not born of a virgin, he was born with a sin nature, like you and like me. And Jesus himself needs a Savior. If you are worshiping a Jesus who is not virgin born, can I say this very diplomatically? You are worshiping an antichrist. An antichrist that cannot save you. Your Jesus is a blasphemous Jesus in the eyes of God. Bill Phibbs says, "I don't believe Jesus was God, but I am no theologian." He said one thing right. He is not a theologian. John Spong says the same thing. "But my Jesus said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." The moderator of the United Church is following a false Jesus. A Jesus who is not God in the flesh cannot save anyone. And it's about time that we, as Bible-believing Christians, it's time that we begin to confront people who are worshiping a different Jesus, a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Bible. Modalism. This is what we call United Pentecost. Truth Tabernacle. They have their roots in the Azusa Street Revival. Understanding the Godhead by William Branham says this. It is not that there are three gods, but one God with three titles. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. How can three persons be in one God? Not only is there no Bible for it, but it shows even a lack of intelligent reasoning. The Bible clearly teaches that Jesus is God the Son, the second person of the Trinity. By the way, when you're talking United Pentecostals, do not always tell people that you're not talking about the regular Pentecostals. They are a cult. Truth Tabernacle is a cult. They were actually excommunicated from the Assemblies of Gods and the Pentecostal Church. These are the ones who have Acts 2:38 on their license plate. They'll say there are three steps you have to go in order to receive the Lord. Number one, you need to repent of your sins. Number two, you need to be baptized in the name of Jesus only. And number three, you have to be baptized by the Holy Ghost as the evidence in speaking in tongues. But Psalm 45 talks about God anointing God. There's two persons of the Godhead there. In Daniel chapter 7, we have one like the Son of Man who comes up to the Ancient of Days. There you see God the Father and God the Son, two distinct persons. They have the wheel of Jesus. You might see that there is one God. They have God the Father is this and Jesus is this on the other side of the circle. Quite often they'll have Isaiah 44 verse 6 on these charts. I remember going to a person who was, she was a believer, but she got herself involved with United Pentecostal, the Truth Tabernacle, and the missionaries of the Truth Tabernacle got them all mixed up. And so they got to Isaiah 44, 6, and they had on their literature, I am the first, I am the last, beside me there is no God. Case closed. Proves that God, the Trinity, is a false doctrine. I said, I was going to use Isaiah 44, 6 to prove the Trinity. She said, what do you mean? I said, you left out the first half of Isaiah 44, verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I said, there's two persons there. I then showed her Daniel chapter 7, which we just looked at. Matthew chapter 3, Jesus, when he was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven, the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I said, that sounds like three persons of the Godhead to me. While I was twisting the scripture. Or Revelation chapter 5, they tried to say that it's Jesus sitting on the throne. And I showed her this passage as the Lamb comes and takes away the scroll from the one sitting on the throne. I said, who is the Lamb? She said, Jesus. I said, who is the one that he takes it off the scroll? She got mad at me. Somehow or other, the cults get mad at me. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. What about the false Jesus of Jehovah's Witnesses? Their Jesus did not die on a cross, but on a stake. There Jesus is Michael the Archangel. There Jesus returned invisibly in 1914. You may not know that. But you see, the leader of the Jehovah Witnesses, Charles Taze Russell, had prophesied using the measurements on the Great Pyramid. By the way, if you Google Charles Taze Russell, you can see his tombstone. It's a pyramid with a cross on it. And by the way, the Watchtower Society used to have a cross in their logo. But they had predicted that Jesus Christ was going to come using the measurement on the Great Pyramid in 1914. When Jesus Christ didn't come in 1914, they said he came but unseen by men. Behold, he's coming with a cloud and every eye shall see him. They say that means he's coming back invisibly. The Jesus Christ of Jehovah Witnesses cannot save you. They teach that Jesus is the mighty God, but not almighty God. In Isaiah 9:6, his name shall be called the mighty God. Christians and Jehovah Witnesses agree that's Jesus. But I like to take him to Psalm 50, verse 1. The mighty God, even Jehovah, has spoken. Or what about this? If you only have time to talk to a Jehovah Witness for a minute, take him to Jeremiah 32:18. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, and recompensest thine iniquity of thy fathers into the bosom of the children after them. The great, the mighty God, Jehovah of hosts is his name. When they say Jesus Christ is the mighty God, they are acknowledging that Jesus Christ is the one they call Jehovah. But in Revelation 1:8, you see, I am Alpha and Omega, the Almighty. That is El Shaddai in the Old Testament. In Revelation 1:18 or 1:11, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. So the Almighty God is also the first and the last. In Revelation 1:17 and 18, he says, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Don't let them tell you that Jesus is the mighty God, but not almighty God. Their Jesus is a false Jesus. Their Jesus cannot save anyone. Can I say this very diplomatically? The Jesus of the Jehovah Witnesses is an antichrist. Here's the return to 1914. The Mormon Church, they openly acknowledge they worship a different Jesus. The traditional Christ of whom they speak is not the Christ of whom I speak. That was President Hickley. It is true that many Christian churches worship a different Jesus Christ than worshiped by the Mormons or the Church of Latter-day Saints. What they teach is Jesus Christ became a God because he followed the secret rites in the Mormon Church. He became a God. Whereas the Bible says God became a man. See, the Mormons are more really New Age. Eastern mysticism, they have nothing to do with Christianity. The Church of Mormonism is a false God. They teach that Jesus Christ and Lucifer are brothers. But Lucifer is a created being. The real Messiah is from everlasting. They identify their Jesus as Quetzalcoatl. a serpent god from Mexico. A serpent god that was involved in human sacrifice. There is the Jesus of the Mormon Church. A demon that eats humans. It is time we took a stand and tell Mormons, you are not worshiping the Jesus of the Bible. You are worshiping an antichrist. By the way, I like this. This you should try to memorize. Joseph Smith said, here then is eternal life, to know the only wise and true God. You got to learn how to be gods yourself, to be kings and priests to God, the same as all gods have done before you, namely by going from one small degree to another, from one small capacity, a great one, from grace to grace, from exaltation to exaltation, to attain the resurrection of the dead, and are able to dwell in the place of everlasting burnings. You need to learn that quote. I have used that with Mormons on more than one occasion. The whole purpose of Mormonism is to prepare you for the place of everlasting burnings. The whole purpose of the Mormon Church is to send you to hell. I don't know how to be diplomatic about that. Joseph Smith said, hell is quite an agreeable place. The Jesus of Mormonism had many wives. What about the Jesus of Roman Catholicism? The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ died once for all for our sins. John 19:30, it is finished, it is paid in full. Hebrews 1 verse 3, after he completed the sacrifice, he sat down. The sacrifice was finished. Because the Roman Catholic Church teaches that Jesus is, that the Eucharist becomes the actual Jesus, they teach that Jesus is the Eucharistic wafer. When the priest on the Mass raises up the Eucharist, the people bow down and say, my Lord and my God. Even though Jesus died once for all and it is finished, he died once. Once for all, one sacrifice for sins forever, for by one offering he's perfected forever. Well, here's what they say. Jesus offers himself again to his heavenly Father as he did on the cross, but in an unbloody way in the Mass. For in it Christ, by the ministry of the priest, perpetuates the sacrifice of the cross in an unbloody manner through the course of the centuries. Can I say this diplomatically? If your Jesus is still on the cross, you are worshiping a false Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. It continues the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. I am sorry, the Roman Catholics are worshiping a different Jesus. A false Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. There is where you see they lift up the Eucharist and they say, my Lord and my God. Elevation of the sacred host, my Lord and my God. By the way, the Council of Trent teaches that if anyone does not believe that the wafer becomes the actual body of Christ, let them be accursed. Let them go to hell. If you don't bow down and worship that wafer in your Lord's Supper, in your communion, you are going to hell. Different gospel? I think so. How about the Jesus of Islam? Now, this is actually a Catholic Mass at Bethlehem. But look at Joseph. He's wearing an PLO scarf. And Jesus, instead of being wrapped in swaddling clothes, is wrapped in an Arab scarf. And look at the wise men. I bet you when you looked at the wise men, you never thought of them like this. You see, Yasser Arafat said Jesus was the first radical Palestinian armed guerrilla. Jesus, the first Palestinian revolutionary. Jesus said salvation is of the Jews. If you are worshiping the Jesus of Islam, you are worshiping the wrong Jesus. Jesus of the Quran is not the Son of God. Allah has never begotten a son, nor was there ever any other God beside him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus himself, when he was talking to the man who had been born, the man who was blind, said, "Do you believe on the Son of God?" And he answered and said, "Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou hast both seen him, and is he that talketh with thee." In John 10:36, Jesus said, "Say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God." The real Jesus was confirmed to be the Son of God by the resurrection from the dead, Romans 1:4. Surah 1:57, they never killed him. They never crucified him. They never killed him. The two pillars of Islam. Allah has no son. And Jesus never died on the cross. But Jesus said he was going up to Jerusalem to be killed. Paul said, "Christ died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again on the third day according to the scripture. And he was seen by over 500 people." What about mysticism? The emerging church. Brother Lawrence said what you need to do is you need to meditate upon Jesus and picture him any way you wish. Sorry, that's not the Jesus of the Bible. He's not made in the image of my imagination, but he's made according to what the scripture said. Calvin Miller, "Thus we create in our minds the Christ. Then have it your way. His image must be real to you. We define him." Calvin Miller is saying, look, you want to know what Jesus is like? Imagine. Brian McLaren, "This is one of the huge problems with the traditional understanding of hell, because if the cross is in line with Jesus' teaching, then I won't say the only, and certainly won't say even primary meaning of the cross is that the kingdom of God doesn't come like the kingdom of this world by inflicting violence and coercing people, but that the kingdom of God comes through suffering and willing voluntary sacrifice, right? But in an ironic way, the doctrine of hell basically says, no, that is not really true. In the end, God gets his way through coercion and violence and intimidation and domination, just like every other kingdom does. The cross isn't the center then. The cross is almost a distraction and false advertising for God." Brian McLaren ridicules the cross. And you're going to find Brian McLaren's book in many of the evangelical Bible schools who used to teach the real Jesus. Richard Foster, you start imagining and Jesus Christ will come quietly to you. Listen quietly to any instructions he gives to you. So through meditations, you start to imagine Jesus coming to you. And whatever Jesus says, whatever that mystical Jesus says, you listen to him. James Finley, Michael Pinnock, Your Faith in You, The Synthesis of Catholic Belief, Ave Maria Press. A Buddhist or Hindu uses the same techniques to enter into a deeper union with God. We find Jesus by using the practices of Eastern mysticism. But Deuteronomy chapter 13 says you are not to learn the practices of those from the East. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 6 reconfirms that. Matthew 6, 7 and 8, Jesus said you're not to use vain repetitions. What about the false Jesus of the TV evangelists? Love of money is the root of all evil. Jesus said you cannot serve God and money. Jesus overturned the money changers because they had made God's Father's house into a house of merchandise. John Avazzini, one of the goofiest, is that Jesus and his disciples were poor. Jesus had a nice big house. Jesus wore designer clothes. Can I be very diplomatic? That is an antichrist. His Jesus is a false Jesus. Fred Price, Bible says Jesus had a treasurer. They called it a bag. And then he had one man who was a treasurer called Judas Iscariot. A rascal was stealing out of the bag 3.5 years. Nobody knew that he was stealing. You know why? Because there was so much in it he couldn't tell. My Bible says Jesus was poor. Oral Roberts, he saw a 900-foot Jesus who told him he had to raise, I think it was $8 million, and if he didn't do it, God was going to kill him. And yet he has thousands of people who followed him. Application. Romans chapter 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. We're not to cooperate with those who are preaching a different Jesus. For they are not that serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good works and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. If you are following one of these false Jesus, can I quote Paul? You're simple. Wise up. Ezekiel chapter 33 warns the children of Israel, if you fail to warn the wicked man to turn from his evil way, he will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. You have a responsibility to preach the real Jesus to those who are following a false Jesus, the Jesus who is an antichrist. We're a little bit late. Didn't get on here till a little bit too late, but just go as you go, just meditate on those things. In the afternoon, the next session, I'll be dealing with those people who actually claim to be the Messiah. So we won't be looking at a different Jesus, but we'll be looking at another Christ. So thank you.